Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this astounding future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I'm super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great also. I got to say, I enjoyed the 30-minute program last Monday and love the energy of the shorter format. I hope our audience feels the same.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because we're having fun, so we'll probably keep doing it this way. Unless we get feedback that we must stop for some reason. I feel like this is definitely the way to go. And we're doing some bite-sized topics this week. We may, in future weeks, take on some longer topics, but if we do, we'll divide them into bite-sized portions. So you can get a nice little boost of World Transform. Instead of one big one every week, you get two or three boosts, you know, to kind of keep you going throughout the week. That's what we want to do, is we want to keep, you know, kind of keep that momentum moving into the future. So doing our part to give people that. And this time out,
hey, you know, this is our election year gift, right? You know, don't let politics get you down.
If you feel like you're being inundated with a certain kind of media coverage, we are here to, if not inundate you, at least provide as much as we can of an alternative. That's right. As many instances of something else to think about as we can possibly provide. Because, among other things, you know what, Stephen? It keeps us, for at least while we're doing it, from having to think about it ourselves, right? So,
that is the absolute truth.
It's worth it if for no other reason than that. So tonight we're going to talk about some big, big stuff that's been going on in the world of artificial intelligence. And one of the biggest, and I don't know if we've even talked about this since it happened, but that is Google DeepMind solving the game of Go. They actually announced this, I think it was sometime back in January, that they had done that. And I had heard about it a little bit sooner than that, just through some professional stuff that I was doing. I actually got to get a little bit of insight into the minds of some of the people who worked on it. And they knew it was a done deal. They knew that they had, from a mathematical standpoint, from a strictly computer science standpoint, knew that they had solved Go some time ago, a few weeks ago, maybe even late last year, they had figured that out. But it's in the news this week, and it's been in the news last week and this week because of the Go tournament, the very special Go tournament that's been going on between the leading, or one of the world's leading, Go championship players, a human, and Google DeepMind. And you know, there's been some developments on that here this week as well. It's taken a pretty interesting turn. But what do you think of this, Stephen? So computers have beaten yet another game. Fine, they beat tic-tac-toe. They own chess now, right? They can beat humans at Jeopardy. So this is just another example of that. No big deal, right? Just more of the same. Is that right?
Well, in each of these systems that beat these particular games, and when we say beat, we mean they have them solved. Given any configuration, it can give you the most optimal next move. Okay, that's what these systems are. You cannot come up with a better move than what these machines that have solved the game are able to do. And so each system that solves one of these games, they're fully optimized to just that game. So I guess you could say that right now, you know, that's what we have. We have islands of AI that can do specific things very well. We still don't have artificial general intelligence where, you know, it's almost like a person that can go out and do anything it wants to do. It's we're not there yet by any stretch of the imagination, but each of these things that AI is doing and doing better than people can do, it's that's kind of in some ways, I guess it could be disconcerting in some ways, but in other ways, it's exciting. I mean, we'll get into some other things like auto drive cars and things like that in the show. But it's, what are your thoughts, Bill? Is this, are we heading towards Terminator, or is this some sort of utopia that we're going towards?
Well, I it's a utopia for sure. But the Terminator is definitely there. It's in the, it's lurking in the corners of this development, but it's definitely a huge step forward. I think that's the point that might be lost on people, especially Western audiences who tend not to be as familiar with Go. I mean, you don't hear that much about Go. Chess, we know. Jeopardy, we see on TV, right? So we're familiar with it. But this odd, strange to many of us, Asian game of Go isn't as familiar, and it's a seemingly very simple game. You know, I mentioned tic-tac-toe, and it kind of looks like this really big, complex version of tic-tac-toe. You've got black and white stones being laid out on a grid of 19 by 19, and players trying to outflank each other, a little bit like Othello, which, by the way, if you're familiar with Othello, is another game that computers solved quite some time ago. You know, it's like a computer cannot be beaten in Othello. The thing is, if you do the math on the number of possible Go moves and the number of possible Go games versus, say, the number of possible chess moves and the number of possible chess games, well, both numbers are very impressive. You know, it's 10 to the something in the double digits for chess, 10 to the 65th or something like that, possible games of chess that can be played. With Go, it's 10 to the three digits, okay? It's 10 to the 500 and something. All right, it's that much more complicated. And we're talking, it really hasn't been that long ago that chess was mastered. And now suddenly this much, much bigger possibility space of Go and the computers make it happen. So, yeah, although there is always the argument that this kind of application of artificial intelligence is narrow versus general purpose AI, this is a huge step forward. Somebody, I think it was Elon Musk, said that in his opinion, this represented about a 10-year leap in artificial intelligence. And that's one of the things that seems to be kind of rattling around the discussion of this, is that I don't think anyone was expecting DeepMind to pull this off quite so quickly. You know, there's been so much progress with neural networks and deep learning. So much big stuff has been happening in artificial intelligence over the last 2-3 years that we're seeing progress in things that I think even the experts were not necessarily expecting. You know, I think people, putting models together and running them and going, hey, you know what, I think we just beat Go. You know, I think it's kind of happening that way.
It's kind of funny. It's AI is, might be one of those overnight successes that took 30 years to happen, right? I mean, it's disappointment after disappointment. There was a period of time back when I was in college, Phil, that, they just begun experimenting and fooling around with neural networks, software-based neural nets. And they it was thought that, well, hey, just, artificial brains are right around the corner. And, of course, that was kind of an embarrassing flop in the sense that it didn't quite happen like that. But, AI, it never really went away. It just sort of kind of went underground for a little while. And here it's coming out. I would guess, Phil, probably about 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, it started ramping back up again. And this time with actual results. It's impressive the things that they're able to accomplish.
Yeah, well, there's a real connection, I think, between the resurgence of artificial intelligence and, in particular, neural networks. That's really where it has happened, and the rise of the web over the I think maybe even especially the social web over the last 10, 15 years. That having those volumes of data, companies like Google and Facebook were looking for ways to make sense of that data. And as you said, neural networks never went away. Artificial intelligence research never went away. But, you know, it became the not cool thing to put your money in for quite some
time.
Yeah,
for a long time. So
there weren't the big programs. There were, you know, there were a few small programs. Nobody was going to, you know, at a major school turn the lights off altogether. Nobody at a major corporation was going to shut it down completely. But it wasn't where the action was. And then suddenly, yeah, about probably the real momentum started about 10 years ago, but the real action has started within the last 5 years. There has been just this explosion of interest in neural networks because they're solving problems with it. That's the key.
Probably one of the first places that it really there was a resurgence. Voice recognition was, one of those areas that required a certain level of AI, but search. Google has spent billions. Just to be able to give you the best, the best answer to your query, whatever your query is. So that they can beat out the other search companies, and as a result, their artificial intelligence. What they were able to contribute to the field is creating results not just for Google but all throughout.
Absolutely, they had those problems to solve. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We've got billions of pictures, and we don't have billions of people to look at them to sort them. Right.
We need
software that's better at identifying what's going on in a photo than we've had before. And suddenly, it turns out neural nets are the right way to do that. We need to get better at processing text. We need to be better at processing speech, and all across the board, neural nets, deep learning have been the ways of achieving those things. And the results we're seeing is this huge, huge leap forward in, you call it narrow AI if you want to. Narrow AI is getting very broad when it's solving a game like Go. It's getting very smart, and we're going to talk in a few minutes about other things that are being done with AI that are also quite broad, and that speak to an even broader future. But what I wanted to talk about before we moved on is one little hitch, right? One little monkey wrench in the works here. It looks like Go has not been completely solved by DeepMind because this tournament was going on between the South Korean Go champion, Lee Sedol, and Go and DeepMind beat him in Go 3 games straight and beat him pretty soundly. It was one of those didn't see it coming, had to look at it after the fact to even understand how I lost. But on the fourth game, congratulations, Mr. Lee, he turned it around, and he beat DeepMind. So, we've got a program that can beat the world grand champion 3 games out of 4, but not 4 games out of 4. So, a hugely impressive feat by DeepMind, but I guess, Chuck, what is it? One cheer for Team Human here, huh? We're still limping along
so
the game. Hip
hip, and just leave it at the second hip or something.
Yeah, but I mean, great for him that he beat it because I think anybody beating a machine at Go are severely numbered, and he managed to pull it off. But worth noting that it's only beating the best player in the world 3 out of 4 times, not 100.
Not 4 out of 4 just yet. And so, yeah, exactly. It might be the last time that one of those systems is beat by him. So I guess we should revel in it.
Remember the day. Remember the day that a human could still beat a computer at that game, because I think that's going to go away. Meanwhile, gosh, what else is happening in the world of artificial intelligence? The thing is, if you want to swing it either way, I like the parameters you laid out earlier, Stephen. If you want to say utopia coming, or you want to say Terminator coming, you can see hints of that in any of these stories. There's one over on rightrelevance.com, and the headline is "These engineers are developing artificially intelligent hackers." Well, that's a great idea, except for how scary it sounds, right? I mean, obviously,
hopefully these are white hat hackers, right?
Exactly. Well, indeed they are. I mean, the whole idea is to get the upper hand. It's to outsmart the black hat hackers, the ones who have evil intentions. Let's create hackers that can work 24/7, that can work a million times faster than we can work, and that do nothing but try to figure out what these guys are going to do next. Obviously, the scary thing about that is, well, gee, if you can write an algorithm that will be a hacker to do good, you know, dot, 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 wow, somebody else might just spin that off in the other direction. But, you know, when you say that, that's all the more reason you got to create one to do good, right? I mean,
that's right. You know, let's create the good one first, because you know the bad one would be coming. We need to be ahead of this. If it's not the good guys creating artificial hackers, it would be the bad guys. And we need a network that's out there healing itself as fast as the bad guys would be producing their own artificially intelligent hackers to attack the system. So it's I foresee just a constant warfare on that. You know,
I think so. And I, you know what, there is a lot to be said for having the first mover advantage in this war. In fact, the first mover advantage could be definitive. So this is DARPA's cyber grand challenge, actually, that's taking this on, and it's kind of cool how they're doing it. You know, they're creating a system, and basically it's a game of capture the flag, more or less. You know, somehow the hacking systems have to figure out a way into this other system, and, you know, find vulnerabilities and exploit them to get into it to get the flag. And as we've seen, AI systems can be incredibly, from a human perspective, relentless and original in their thinking when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've seen things like the when they've had AI systems playing Atari games, right? And the interesting strategies they figured out to totally dominate on the old Atari games. But it's strategies that humans wouldn't necessarily think of, but that work. And if the hackers are going to be using AIs, and they already are probably for a lot of this kind of stuff, we want our AIs to think of these things before their AIs get a chance to, and prevent them from doing the harm that they want to do.
Did you ever, I'm sure you're the right age, Phil, you probably spent a little time playing Space Invaders, huh?
Oh, sure.
On the old Ataris. But back before they were called 2600s, we just called them.
the Atari system,
or even the Sears. What did Sears call it? I forget.
God. That's the one we had, and I can't remember the name of it. It had a strange name. I don't remember.
Yeah, some sort of Sears CompU system or something, whatever.
Yep.
But it was an Atari also. Atari compatible, I guess, with the Sears brand. But I recall as a kid figuring out the pattern and being able to and my buddies and I, we figured this out so that, you know, we couldn't be beat in the standard configuration. There's like 120 different ways to configure the game with moving defenses and everything else. But we just, with a standard game, we couldn't be beat. And so it came down to, you know, in our little group of buddies, it was whoever, basically it was stamina and the ability to hold out to get to the highest score. I think I think before we completely lost interest, I had the high score in my little group of friends. I just, you know, stuck with it for about 4 hours, 5 hours.
Oh,
I mean, just crazy amounts of time. I think I broke 200,000 at one point, and it was nuts. The amount of time, you know, but. And these simple little games like that was what we – I try to explain it to, the Xbox 360, whatever generation they're on now. I try to explain that to the generation of little guys that live in my house, the attraction of that. But it's what we had. And we had as much fun with that, I bet, as these guys have with modern games. It's just a matter of perspective. But
absolutely, yeah.
But anyway,
you go. I mean, you know, the strategies that you could come up with then, as creative as they were.
These artificial intelligence
strategies.
Yeah, it was a human strategy. The AIs can do better, and guess what? They don't ever get tired. That was
right.
The key to me having
the
high score in my
hours.
Group. You know, you couldn't let your attention flag. You couldn't get tired. You couldn't get bored. In order to have the high score, you just had to be plugged in and zoomed in. And there's a human limitation to that. And
well, eventually you got to go pee. I mean,
exactly. Yeah, either that or you get dehydrated before you get started with one of those game sessions. So that's not an issue, maybe. But whatever. but at some point, yeah, your human limitations will kick in, and you'll get distracted, and then boom, you're dead. So, but that's not an issue with AI, and that's when it comes to things like surgery, you don't need a distracted or bored surgeon. You don't need a distracted or bored airline pilot, at a critical moment, who's tired or emotional or whatever. There's lots of places that we humans just, we're up against our limitations, and it creates tragedies. And one of those areas, Phil, is driving cars, right?
One of the big ones, absolutely. I just saw a headline today that the U.K., is actually planning some tests on their highways, getting ready for autonomous cabs. Can you imagine replacing the London black cabs with self-driving cars? But you had shared another story about the impending self-driving car revolution. What's going on there?
I just had a picture in my mind of the Johnny cabs from Total Recall.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the right picture to have, too.
Anyway. But yeah, the story that I saw today, it was in the Wall Street Journal, I believe, $20,000 self-driving vehicle. Now, this is from Honda, and Honda's not calling it a self-driving vehicle. It's a driver assist vehicle. What it is capable of doing is you get out on the interstate. It'll hold the speed, it'll hold your lane, and if something is in front of you, then it will hold the distance between you and the vehicle in front of you. It doesn't change lanes, it won't exit the freeway or anything like that, it just will hold the spot. But that level of driving alone, that's a big deal for someone who does a lot of interstate driving. If it allows you to, check your text messages or just... it keeps you from getting in trouble from distracted driving or whatever. It allows you to do something, stretch a little bit or something. That's a big deal for someone who does a lot of interstate driving. That's a lot of people,
more than that, even, I think that with a $20,000 price point, that speaks to this kind of capability being widely distributed, very broadly distributed in the future. And when people
it's not going to be just on some experimental Mercedes that costs $500,000 that you can't afford. This is a real deal that I'll be on our streets before you know it.
And when you have it's not that big a leap to a fully self-driving car. That's the other point.
That's right.
So this is a big step, and we see it happening incrementally. I mean, one of the topics we've been talking about forever is the self-driving car, and it's really been fascinating to see this go from something nobody thought anything about to something that people just pretty much accept as an inevitability now. It's been about a decade to see that transition take place, and I think people are there now. What they're also coming to see is that AIs are going to be doing a lot of other things that we do. I've shared these kind of silly ones. The story about the scientist that made a robot art critic that's able to form its own opinions. But even that's kind of interesting. The art critic goes around and looks at a piece of art. It knows what it likes. I don't know if it actually says. I don't know if it's art, but I know what I like. But it smiles at the ones it likes, and it frowns and runs away from the ones it doesn't like. Seems kind of silly, but it speaks to something that's actually going on inside of these systems, which is, they're taking on some of the higher reasoning kinds of functions that we think belong only to us. When you apply that to disciplines like the law, like medicine, marketing, business administration, suddenly you've got artificial intelligence with all the advantages you talked about earlier. They don't get tired. They go fast. They don't make dumb emotional decisions. Threatening everybody's job, right? I mean, not just offering us a free... a way to get around after we've had a few drinks, but offering to do everything for us, and really kind of pushing us out of the equation where the economy is concerned. And this is something we've talked about quite a bit. And I don't know, people look at AI playing Minecraft, and who's going to feel threatened by that? But I'm telling you, if you're an architect, you want to watch very closely at what AIs are doing on playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
games, right?
That's right.
I would pay very close attention to that.
I guarantee the great architects of 10 years from now are playing Minecraft right now.
Right.
Whether they're
exactly.
machines or people, they are currently playing Minecraft. Just to kind of give you an idea on how fast this has moved, Phil. We've been talking about this ever since the first DARPA Grand Challenge, and I want to give you the year on that. You want to hazard a guess as to when that was, because you know time flies when you're having fun. But
05,
when you think it was 07.
Oh, was it really?
That has been less than
a decade.
Not
even 10 years ago. God.
Not even 10 years ago. And really, self-driving cars weren't even real before that contest. That contest made it a real thing. And that's not even been a decade.
So. Amazing. Wow. And, okay, so from a thing no one had ever heard of and only a few technologists had ever even imagined to something that it really feels like we're on the verge of. You know, something that is entering our world at a rapid pace. That's how fast it's happening. And when you start thinking, it's like now take driving a car and multiply it by, everything, right? And then you see where we are 10 years from now, right?
Yeah. Because box chessboard.
Yeah, exactly. Right now we're in the early stages of people talking about neural nets that will provide legal services, neural nets that will do your copywriting for you, et cetera. Just name it. An intellectual job, a job that you think, well, only a human could ever do this. And I guarantee you somebody right now is trying to write a computer program to do it. And then what happens? Well, I've linked this piece, again, from The Guardian, a lot of interesting discussion about robotics going on in the UK right now. When robots do all the work, how will people live? And I thought this was a really interesting, sober analysis from somebody looking at it strictly from the standpoint of how do we keep humans relevant to the economy? And we need to work on that, and the government needs to get behind that, and we need to figure out a way that people will still have jobs and that we won't all be out of work. And I read it, and I think I totally agree with the feelings behind it. But I feel that it's already too late, probably, to be thinking in those terms. Business is not going to be able to go back to, I think AI is something like an addictive drug, right? Once you're using it, it's going to be hard to go back to people. And
Pandora's box, man. You can't put that back in. And it's the toothpaste is out of the tube. Whatever metaphor you want to use, it's. It's not going away now.
No, it brings us back. Go ahead.
Not only is it not going away, it'll be like an exponential acceleration. Success will lead to more and more and more success, and that more and more success, more and more. It's just it will happen quick. It'll happen very quick, and we'll all be looking around for something to do, and that's. I've worried about this and thought about this, with you, Phil, for probably a good 5 or 10 years. I'm no closer to an answer than I was when we first started thinking about this.
We've got a link here to Martin Ford's book, Lights in the Tunnel. Actually, it's a review of it over in the World Future Society. So we had Martin on 6 years ago to talk about this, and I still think his book, one of the best treatments of the subject, just because he looks at it and says, no easy answers, but you got to think about this, and you got to think about this. And I think that's really where we are right now. Is we really have to start thinking about how we structure our society in a world where the computers can do everything. Because you know what, there are great ways to do that. Okay, there are fun, happy, everything's going to work out ways to do that. But there are a lot of pitfalls in those great ways of doing that. There are probably really messed up ways of doing it, and there are probably models of getting there that look good that are going to be really painful to try to implement and that won't work. And that's why we have to be thinking about it now, because ultimately it's to everybody's advantage that machines can do all this stuff for us. It gives us the chance to become these creative forces of nature that we were always meant to be, right? It should be the great liberation of humanity. Not our the great us becoming irrelevant. But I think we've got work to do in order to make that happen. And gosh, if we had more time, we'd, you know, we'd outline exactly what that plan is. But
we are out of time, Phil.
It seems that we've run out of time. So all I can say is it's been great talking with you all. We'll be back again next week with two more brand new shows. And until next time, live to see you.